run away from kavod, right? Not supposed to be seeking glory, and then people are making a big deal about me, and like I felt a little uncomfortable with the whole thing of everyone, you know. Thank you so much. Awesome. Of, you know, making a big deal about it. So what do you do when everyone's dancing around you and singing happy birthday? So I decided I'm gonna dance with guys. For two reasons. Reason number one is it's important when someone compliments you to accept the compliment. Because they want to give to you. And by you not receiving that compliment, you're kind of shutting them off. And you're not letting yourself receive, and then they can't give. So really, you're taking. It's better to give. A better way to give is to receive and say, and to dance and to thank them. That's all a good marriage trick too. If your wife wants to give you something, accept it. Don't run away. That's shot number one. Shot number two is something that I sincerely believe in. That every single day, it's all of our birthdays. So when you're saying happy birthday to me, we're really saying happy birthday to all of us. Because we all know. Exactly, we all know. We say every day. Every day we're recreated. Like Chaim Yivoloshin teaches the Nefesh Chaim. That every single day, Hashem's recreating us. So really, every day is our birthday. Mamish, every day is our birthday. The only question is, how conscious are we of the fact that every day is our birthday? So when you can use that trick next time people are singing happy birthday, you can also sing happy birthday. Happy birthday to all of Am Yisrael. Mamish to all of the world, really. It's being recreated right now. Awesome. But with that, since it is my birthday, I thought it would be a fun day.
Happy birthday.
Hi. Yeah, appreciate it. I thought it would be a fun day to talk about the meaning of birthdays in halacha and some in hagim. If there's a little time, maybe we'll talk a little bit about mazel. You know how everyone says mazel tov. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. So what's the deal with mazel, and do we believe in astrology and kosher astrology? If there's time at the end, we'll sneak that in. Sounds good? Awesome. Okay, so here's a source sheets. And you guys can keep them and save them for your birthday if you want. Bezrat Hashem. Everybody got? L'chaim. L'chaim. Okay. So, before you look at the source sheets, everybody knows that where is the first mentioned source, not only in Jewish literature, but in literature in general, as far as I know, and Wikipedia agrees, the first mention of a birthday in ancient times. Yeah.
Is it Paro?
Indeed. It's our old friend Paro. Embrace his parak mem. Vayiba Yomash Tashi, it was the third day. Yom Uledet at Paro, the day of the birthing of Paro. Vayas Mishteh Lechol Avadav. And he made a party for all of his slaves. Vayisayat Rosh HaMashkim et Rosh HaRofim betoch Avadav. And he lifted up the Shar HaMashkim and the Shar HaRofim. Right? And of course, because of this birthday, who ended up getting out of prison? Yosef HaTzadik. Okay. So thus far, in our journey through birthdays, would we say that birthdays is a Jewish value? Is something that we should celebrate and make a big deal about? Or is it not necessarily? Thus far, what do we think?
No.
No. Who's the only person who made a birthday? Paro. Paro the guy. Not to say that we don't learn from the Goyim. In fact, there are a bunch of examples of minhagim that seem to be derived from Goyim. Like Lavan. We learn from Lavan the idea of Sheva Brachos. So it wouldn't, you know, Yidro says Baruch Hashem. So it wouldn't be crazy. But at the same time, the only birthday mentioned is Faro. By the way, it's not clear b'chlal if regular people celebrated birthdays in ancient times. Right? After all, you know, people weren't keeping time in the exact same way that we keep time nowadays. So it's likely, it's plausible that during much of world history, only important people celebrated their birthdays. Regular people just went. And to this day, in places like in India and in Africa, when you get old, you're just old. They don't really have ages, you know? They just go. But there are some sources which indicate that maybe there were birthdays, even for regular folk, in Jewish sources, okay? But before we get to that, I want to talk about another source which might indicate actually that there's some significance not only in Jewish birthdays, but in secular birthdays. So who wants to read source number two? It's in English. Pretty easy. The Yerushalmi. Come on. Somebody. Go for it.
the Amalekites used to send out their soldiers to the front lines to battle on their birthdays.
Whoa. Kavat. So everyone who was going, all of them Amalekites, says the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and Yerushalmi. Everyone who was in the battlefield, they all had, whatever that day was, that was their birthday. Okay, so if they were fighting on October 5th, that meant that, everyone whose birthday was October 5th, they would send to the battle line. By the way, October 5th is the most popular birthday in all of America.
Really?
It's the 6th.
You know why? So, according to Wikipedia, so it must be true.
Right, I guess you're not popular.
Why is that? 9 months.
Don't send it on a college paper.
9 months before is Rosh Hashanah is New Year's Eve. And so that's why. Crazy. But anyways.
And they're all married with a kosher tradition.
Oh, that's right. Anyways, so what do we see from this Gemara? We see that the Amalekites believed in the concept of mazel being affected by your birthday. I mean, the day that was your birthday, that meant there was a special divine influence and there's more of a chance of you being successful in the battlefield. At least that's what the Amalekites believed. Okay? Now, we might think, okay, cool, that's what the Amalekites believe, but so what? The Amalekites in general believe in Mikra, that everything is random, everything's, chance. So there's no God behind things. But interestingly enough, the Chida, who, you guys remember when else the Chida came up in my shir? He was a guy that when I was like debating whether I should eat the chocolate or not.
Mm. Oh.
The chocolate stories. He, that's
I told that story over, by the way.
Yeah?
Tell
the chocolate story to the world. The Chida writes, Chida is actually buried right next to Rav Shlomo and Rav Mordechai Eliyahu in Harmonichos. The Chida writes that this is rooted in the Kabbalistic sources which talk about a person's mazel. So in other words, the Amalekites are keying in on something that we believe in, that a mazel actually affects a person. Okay? And that your birthday has significance. And interesting, this is maybe the most interesting part of the whole shir. I don't know. Rav Sadia Gaon and Ibn Ezra both say, therefore, that the birthday that has divine influence is not your Hebrew birthday, but your English birthday. So, David, you asked me, do you have to stop, when Facebook says it's your birthday, do you have to say, you go, it's my Hebrew birthday? The answer is, according to Rav Sadia Gaon and Ibn Ezra, no, there is some significance to your English birthday because on a solar level that will influence something, how your year comes out. So there is, at least according to some rabbis, something to your English birthday, interestingly enough. However, most of the rabbis, when they talk about birthday, they're generally keyed in on your Hebrew birthday and your lunar birthday and your Jewish birthday. Okay? Cool? All cool so far? The Seder. So now we're going to talk about this concept of mazel. Talk a little bit about mazel. So there's a very famous and very important Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Nun Vav Amun Aleph, which is where the sugya of astrology and mazel begins. I didn't quote the whole Gemara. You should look at it inside. It's really fascinating. But the Gemara talks about people being born on certain particular days. And if you're born on a particular day, that's going to affect who you become. So for example, it says if you're born on Sunday, you're either going to be all good or all bad. Because it was light and darkness. And says, Haiman de Petrei B'Shabbat, if you're born on Monday, you give a ragzan. You're going to be an angry person. My time, huh? Yishum de Iflegu Be'Maya, because the waters were split on that day, so there's a lot of anger. And on and on and on. Tuesday, the grass, and therefore you're going to be very, impetuous or something like that. And it goes on every day. The day that you were born has some sort of...
Thursday's chesed.
Thursday, is that true?
Yeah. It's Shabbos.
Shabbos, actually, this Shabbos, my niece was born. That's what
Hashem.
So, I don't know. I don't remember what the Gemara says. But I'm sure it's something good. So
Shabbos.
Yeah. What?
Is giving birth malacha?
Is giving birth malacha. It would definitely be bikuach nefesh.
So. No lad.
So anyways, according to this Gemara, it seems, this is the notes of one of the rabbis, it seems pretty clear that the Jewish people, believe in the concept of mazel, of astrology? Do we believe in it according to this Gemara?
Yes,
we do. And indeed, there are many rabbis that do talk about the concept of mazel, that there is such a thing as stars and constellations which affect your personality traits and your characteristics. Okay? And indeed, there are great rabbis like the Ramban, Nachmanides, who talks about the fact that Lamaisa, we do believe in such a thing as astrology, that you're affected by your mazel. And while they say that, while halachically, one should not go to an astrologer to predict the future, and the Shulchan Aruch writes that that's forbidden, you're not allowed to go to an astrologer to predict the future, it might be an iser of tamim, of going against tamim tiyem shem lakecha, that doesn't mean he doesn't believe it exists. It just means that you shouldn't go to do that. Why not? Because the same Gemara goes on to say that ein mazel b'Yisrael, that there's no mazel in Israel, meaning to say, the way that most rabbis understand it, that we may have tendencies, but we can overcome those tendencies through following the ways of the Torah and mitzvahs. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
But what about, it's like a few weeks prior to the ghost, says you don't believe in auspicious times.
Even there, you look in Rabbi Akiva's opinion there, we don't believe, you're not allowed to go to those people who are divining things. It doesn't mean there's no truth in it.
Divining.
It just means that we don't go to it. Okay? But if someone presents you with information and says, hey, did you know that Rosh Chodesh Sivan is an auspicious time to do whatever, it could affect some decisions, according to the Rambam. In contrast, the Rambam writes in his famous epistle of Teiman, where he was writing to Teimanim, that this stuff is mamash tuyot, that there's no truth. And I'm assuming that those in some would call the rationalist camp would go like this Rambam. Certainly in the modern age, and they say, no, there's no truth to this astrology stuff, and it's all a bunch of narishkeit. Okay, everyone agrees you're not supposed to go to an astrologer to predict the future and to make decisions in your life. The question is there truth in that at all? And as I was mentioning to some of the guys before, there is, even nowadays in Sfat, there's a lady who does kosher astrology. And there are rabbis who will go to them not to predict the future, but to just get a vibe for who I am and how do I key in on my personality traits.
Wouldn't it be a technicality to meet in an area and then she tells you your future instead of you asking?
That's a good kasha. Again, I think those of the more, you know, straight, rational bent would not be happy with that. And those from the more Kabbalistic, spiritual, whatever perspective would say, in the first place, you can ask her opinion. You just can't make decisions based on that. You're not allowed to make decisions based on that. Yeah.
Is there one of the Rambam who says that it's like totally fake?
How does he deal with those moments?
Like, what would be the issue of going to them if they're totally...
The Rambam thinks that though there were Gemaras which mentioned such a proposition, there are always alternative rabbis who don't believe in it, and we passing in like the opinion that they don't believe in it, and basically those, I'm assuming he would say that those other opinions are wrong, and they were mistaken. Just like sometimes the rabbis made mistakes about science, so too in terms of astrology, they were listening to something that there's no veracity.
Like, Rambam still thinks it's usher to go to these people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why does he think it's usher if he thinks it's fake?
Because it's a waste of time. You're going to end up making wrong decisions and you know, just getting yourself confused on an arishkeit. I think that's what he would say. Okay? Where do I fit in this camp? Like in many issues, I'm in the middle. I definitely understand. I wouldn't say like absolutely I believe in astrology 100,000,000,000,000%. Like, I don't know, but at the same time, you know, it's interesting, and seems to be some veracity to it, I'm not opposed to finding it. I wouldn't make life decisions based on it, certainly not, you're not supposed to do that, but if someone wants to tell you, hey, so I'll be honest, before I got married, I actually got a reading from one of these kosher astrologers, and I have to say, she did tell me things which were very insightful that I never really thought about, and that really clicked, and that made a lot of sense. So, to each his own. I wouldn't necessarily recommend it to everyone. I think it can confuse people. But, like, I don't know, she told me things that helped, you know, make me think about things that I wouldn't have otherwise thought about. So, for example, she right away looked at my charts and she said, oh, you're a great teacher, which is interesting, because I don't think I'm such a good teacher. But she also said, you're good on the one-on-one level. Like, you should do, like, one-on-one healing, as she called, like, one-on-one sessions. And after that, I started thinking about it. I was like, oh, yeah, I really should. And then I started learning life coaching and stuff like that. So it actually propelled me to start thinking about my life in a different type of way. I think Rav Aaron, talk about Rav Aaron, I think he's into it also to a certain extent. So I'm not alone in this camp, in believing that there at least there's a possibility that Mazel has some significance. And again, I would not make any life decisions based. I wouldn't take it too seriously. You know, if I have a life decision, should I marry this girl or not? I think it's definitely Osir to go to an astrologer to make those types of big decisions. Or any decision that really.
What about going to a rabbi that was comfortable to get his brachas?
I think that's good. Brachas are good. Good to get brachas.
Well, what if he says it's not a.
That's a good question. I think you should base yourself on logic and reason for the most part and daven to Kadosh Baruch Hu, not on magic. But I don't know, probably case by case scenario. You should ask. I'm not sure.
You brought it?
I brought it. You should definitely take whatever you want and say a bracha on it. Some of it should remain for the Rosh Chodesh meeting tomorrow, but take whatever you want. Take whatever. It's fine. I brought it for both now and tomorrow. Say it. Okay. So that's just a commercial break about Mazel, but I want to get back into Mazel Tov and birthdays. Say it. Okay. So we have these Maras which talk about Mazel. Now, what about birthday parties? What do we have any sources in rabbinical literature talking about making birthday parties and celebrating birthdays? So, there is a Gemara in Moed Katav. The Gemara says that when Rav Yosef reached the age of 60, he made a party. Why? What do you know when you get to age 60?
You didn't get short life.
He didn't get karas, right? Because we know that when a person is chayav karas, he's going to die before age 60. So to celebrate, he made a party. So this is, as far as I know, one of the only Talmudic sources for making a celebration on your birthday. What about the significance of certain ages? Okay? So even before we go to the Mishnah, I thought of a source afterwards. Where do we see in Chumash that there's some significance in turning?
Sarah.
Oh, sorry, 2027. That's interesting. What about in this week's Parsha? Do we see a certain age where when you turn
18, you're less. You
25.
18, nowadays you serve in the army, but according to this week's Parsha, not 25. 20. When you turn 20, you go to the army in this week's Parsha, right in Rishon. So as I was researching this Shira, I learned the Parsha, and I was like, another illusion that you're it could be, I don't know, maybe in biblical times when they turned 20, they made a little bit of a party to celebrate the fact that they can now join the army. Right? There was a certain age when they became, when Levi was able to serve. And interestingly, 13 is not mentioned in the Torah itself, but 20 is. But we know from Masorah and from rabbinical literature that 13 is the age when a person is culpable for his sins. But from a biblical perspective, it seems like 20 is more of a focus. And even now, there's a certain more of a culpability when a person turns 20 than when he was 13. His brain is more developed than he's.
Doesn't the Torah speak more about physical maturity, and we assume that?
No, exactly. Bar mitzvah is a whole different issue.
No. Does this imply that people actually did count their age?
So I don't have a source that they counted their age, but I'm just conjuring up a guess that when they turned 20, that's when they went to the army. So maybe they did know.
Right.
You know, their age. You know. Yeah, that's my... I didn't see that in the Torah, but that's my guess. Okay. In addition, there's a very famous Mishnah, which talks about the different ages. At different ages, you should focus on different things. Which is an extremely important tomorrow for you guys, Mishnah for you guys to know. Let's see why. I think it's Rabbi Yazir. Min chamesh shanim lamikra. When you turn 5, you have to know chumash by heart. So if you guys haven't gotten that, he didn't say well. You guys could work on that. Ben Esther the Mishnah, by 10 you should know all of the Mishnah. If you haven't done that yet, work on that. Ben Shlosh Esther the Mitzvahs, at 13, like we said, you're a culpable to the Mitzvahs. Ben Chamesh Esther the Talmud, 15 you should know the Gemara. Yeah, not that. Ben Shmonah Esrei L'Chuppah, 18 you guys should get married. It's all Hashem. Very important. And Ben Esther Melir Dov, at 20 you should... pursue. What does it mean you should pursue?
Torah.
So some people say job, some people say Torah. Good. But Bepashtis, it means?
Rabbinus.
A woman. You should. If you haven't gotten married by 18, you got to make sure. If by 18 you haven't gotten married, by 20 you mamish have to get married. You mamish have to start searching after her. Assuming you're mature and you've already... You're ready. And assuming you're ready.
20-year-old over here.
Yeah, totally. That's the most important thing. Because you're on the show. Ben Shleishim L'Koyach. When you're 30, you're strong. Ben Arbaim L'Bina. 40 for wisdom, and on and on and on. Don't say the 100. Don't tell an old person that one. It's not very nice. Okay.
Huh.
Am I making up? How old am I? You guys know? I forget to tell you guys.
31.
So yeah. What is the significance of 31? I have no idea. If you guys think of a good gematria, you let me know.
Shoshima
Kal. What?
Kal.
Kal. It's also my 32nd year of life. So it's leave. So it's hard. All right. So in any case, this Mishnah, again, indicates that different
Kal,
years...
Kal, easiness.
Kal is 130. I'm almost there. Kal Ma. Kuman. That's right. All right. So we've gotten some Mishnahs. All right. We're going to just zoom through a few more, a lot interesting sources about birthdays. Okay. So there's a Midrash that got cut off. It's in Bo, Tanchuma Bo, which writes that Yitzchak Avinu was born on the 15th day of Nisan, and because he was born on the 15th day of Nisan, that was his birthday, what did Hashem decide to do? Take us out of Egypt. In the schus of Yitzchak. Similarly, the Midrash writes that Hashem wanted to dedicate the Mishkan earlier, but he waited to Nisan. Why did he wait till Nisan? Because those are the birthdays of the Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So again, indicating that there's a koach in a birthday, that a birthday has significance, at least according to the sages of yonder year. Similarly, in the Gemara Maseches Megillah, there's a very famous Gemara that talks about the birthday of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is also the day that he passed away. Because Tzaddikim, the day that they die and the day that they are born, is the same. And because of that, Rashi says that was the day the Jews were happy, that was the day of protection for the Jewish people. Right? And similarly, in Yonah D'Yoma, what do we read? We read Sefer Rut on Shavuot. One of the reasons given why we read Sefer Rut is because it talks about at the end of it,
David
HaMelech. What does David HaMelech have to do with Shavuot?
Rut is David HaMelech's. So.
Nachon, Rut is his David HaMelech's great grandma. Nachon, Eish
Eschaya.
Nachon, but another explanation given is that David HaMelech's birthday is on Shavuot. Okay, so there's some significance of the fact that it was his birthday. That's why you'll see when you guys go to check it out on your Hartzion on Shavuos, it's like a festival.
Yeah.
And all the hippies come out and kill. It's really fun.
Yeah.
By King David's tomb, it's like a big festival on Shavuos.
It's really fun. Not really Kibbutz.
Okay, whether it is or it isn't, the point is it's a big festival. What kind? Where is it?
Behind, it's it's in a field.
Cool.
Behind there, with a ton of rocks on it.
Awesome.
I had some Googles identified it.
Really? Show me that. I'd love to see that.
Well, I heard about it, and then me and AJ were walking by that area. And we saw two Hasidim diving there,
cool.
So we went over.
Amazing. It used to be the right to frisbee we used to play frisbee there.
Yeah. On David's tomb.
On that grassy area over there.
Yeah.
And then then we moved, but it was good. It was pretty good. 2 years. There's some good frisbee there, and you'll find people doing his photo do there. Anyway, getting back to our topic, the Shari Tshuva writes that this is the birthday of David HaMelech, who's a Margolius mentioned in the Mishnah Brura. So, Gevalt. Okay. Who else talked about making birthdays? And now, part three is what minhagim should a person take upon himself on their birthday? In Yana D'Yayma. So, the Ben Ish Chai, okay, who's also known as the Ben Yehoyada, who wrote a Sefer, he writes that you should make your birthday like a Yontif. Okay? He lived in, I believe, the late 1800s. And the Ben Ish Chai was great Sephardi Posek, writes awesome halachic works. And he even writes, you know, that Gemara about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, when he rose to prominence, he says, the Gemara says, Ahu Yoma, the Ben Yehoyada says, it must be it was his birthday. Because good things happen to you on your birthday. And that's one of the reasons why he used to make a birthday party. He used to make a shechianu with a special fruit and a special clothing. And he would, the custom, he writes that he would give people rugelach. He would give people cake on his birthday. So it's the first custom of birthday cakes, as far as I know. But he wouldn't eat it. He would give it out.
Mamash
chassidish. Sephardi Chassidish, making brachas. So that's the Ben Ischai, okay? Similarly, we got the Baal Shem Tov.
Oh, as Rav David walked into the room.
The Baal Shem Tov used to write... The Baal Shem Tov...
He also said he didn't have
Shem Tov. Oh. So the Baal Shem Tov would celebrate his birthday. Okay? When was his birthday, you guys know? Chayel. Achon. Chayel is his birthday, and Chassidim to this day celebrate Baal Shem Tov's birthday. Did I ever tell you guys my Chayel miracle story?
No.
I don't think so. I'll tell a quick version, because I think I told. Basically, it was Chayel. It was the birthday of Baal Shem Tov. My wife and I were on our roof in the old city reading Baal Shem Tov stories. And we read the story of how the Baal Shem Tov became the Baal Shem Tov. The story was that his father was a tremendous Baal Hachnasas Orchim. He would have guests over. So it was decreed in heaven that he's such a tzaddik, he's going to make a great light come out into the world, and he's going to be the father of the Baal Shem Tov. It's going to change the face of Yiddishkeit. But here's the thing. Comes the Satan and says, wait a second, we can't give someone a blessing unless there's a Nisayan, unless there's a test. We have to test him. He's very nice to religious Jews. Will he also be nice to secular Jews? Jews who don't keep Shabbos. So that Shabbos, they sent this guy who was breaking Shabbos, who was carrying wood on his back. And did the father and the mother of the Baal Shem Tov greet him with love? Of course, love and endless hugs and tons of love. So that was the story of me and so it was decreed that he would be the father of the Baal Shem Tov. That was the story me and Neely read. And that Chai Elul. That Chai Elul, I went down to the Kotel, and we were supposed to get 4 guests from Jeff Seidel. But we got 2, and 2 people canceled on us. And Neely happened to be at the Kotel that Shabbos. And I said, Neely, can I have 2 more guests? And she said, sure. So I ran down to the Kotel. And who do I see? The first person I see? Chai Elul. This guy with a knapsack, and like, not wood, but it was like clearly breaking Shabbos. I thought it was a sign, we just read this story. And I said, oh, do you have a place to go for Shabbos? And he said, thank you so much. I just came from Tel Aviv, and I was looking for a place to go. And did you know, it's the yard site of the Baal Shem Tov. This random secular guy from Tel Aviv knew that it was the Baal Shem Tov's birthday. Not the yard site, birthday. And we took him in, and he came, and he was telling Baal Shem Tov stories the whole time. And he was the star of the Shabbos table.
Wow.
Yeah. And then he came back months later, and I think he was homeless, but this dude bought me the Baal Shem Tov Sefer and the Kedusha Slavin. So that's my Baal Shem Tov birthday miracle story. Big things happen on Hasidic birthdays. Anyways, in case I haven't convinced you. So the Baal Shem Tov used to celebrate his birthday, and that's why Hasidim make a big deal about birthdays. Speaking of Hasidim, the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Lubavitcher Rebbe, Chabadnikim are very big in this Indian of birthdays. If you look online, they're the ones that talk about birthdays the most. Okay? And the Lubavitcher Rebbe said that a person's mazel is very strong in his birthday, and you should take this day very seriously. Okay? And what he would recommend is for bringing. Chabadnikim always is a good day to for bringing, but especially on your birthday, bring your friends together, learn some Torah, do some holy things. And so I said, oh, what better thing to do for me than to learn with my holy friends and wake up at 4 in the morning, dance with my holy friends, kevalt. And that was what the Lubavitcher Rebbe said you should do. Rav Avadia Yosef had a little bit of a more nuanced view. He said that it, like any mitzvah time, make a party, make a suda, but it can't just be a suda of holus. It has to be a suda of kedusha, say words of Torah, mitzvahs, and then automatically it's a suda's mitzvah, and your birthday party then becomes a very, very holy thing, says Rav Avadia. Yes? Okay. So there's a second custom mentioned among the great rabbis, and that's there's an Indian to make a siyum. Right, we already saw that who made a siyum on their birthday, which Gemara mentioned somebody who made a birthday.
Rav Yosef,
when he turned 60. So he made a siyum. So similarly, it's said about the Chofetz Chaim, I believe it was when he was 90. He made a siyum, he finished his Kuntra space Yisrael, and he invited some friends, and he made a siyum and he made a party. Similarly, it's brought down about both the Chassam Sefer and his son, the Ktav Sefer, that they used to make siyums on their birthday. What better way to celebrate than to make a siyum? And the Chassam Sofer used to buy extra milk. It's brought down. Yeah, that's what I read. Milk. Why do you think he? Why milk? What's in that? Why Dafka milk?
Milk when you're born.
That's true. You get milk when you're born. I didn't think of that. That's very true. What else? What's the gematria of milk?
Chalav.
Chet. Lamed.
40.
40 days of receiving, you know, 40 days of Moshe Rabbeinu to receive the Torah. That's why maybe why we have milk on Shavuos. So he wanted, I didn't read this in the Sephora, but I'm guessing that he wanted to connect the milk. So that's why he gave out milk. And ice cream.
What does it take for a baby to come
on? Oh, it's for 40 days till the neshama appears. Kiddushman are coming now. And they're flowing, Awesome, Okay, so maybe there's an Indian to make a scene, so that's why Bezrat Hashem tomorrow I'm going to try to finish Pesachet Brachos. I love Pesachet Brachos.
40 days, 10 days after the... 10 days after the...
Resort, the baby. 40 days is when the soul comes out. 40 is always rebirth. 40 is... when the world is renewed, 40 Seah, the Mikvah, Nechon, 40 is when Rabbi Akiva, 40 is always rebirth. So, how do we, why do we have, oh, 40, Chalav, milk, yeah. Okay, give up. So, making a Siyam, learning Torah, learning extra Torah. What else is mentioned? So the Rabbi Yisrael of Salant, it's an extra good day to give tzedakah. Give tzedakah with a smile. So, Bezrat Hashem. Rabbi Chaim, me, Paldagi is a Sfardi Chacham said, give extra tzedakah on your birthday, makes it because it will impact giving. I mean, really, the whole point of life, according to Chassidus and Kabbalah, is to become a giver. So, what better day than your birthday to become a giver and to give to others? Similarly, the Arvi Nachal, Rabbi Yonatan Ibishitz, writes that we should focus on a particular trait, and Hashem will help you focus on that path. So you should do tshuva, you should do introspection. Chabadnikim say, this is a day of cheshbon nefesh, of introspection, of taking it very seriously. I was born and I'm maximizing my potential. It's like a mini Rosh Hashanah. That's what your birthday is supposed to be. And I particularly like that approach. I think that's a very powerful approach for your birthday. Similarly, Chabad writes, commit yourself to a new mitzvah or a new Torah project, set aside extra time to learn Torah, and go to a tzaddik to get a bracha. Okay, a few more customs that are mentioned. Tefillah, it's brought down different svarim. Good day to daven for the amud. It's a good day for extra tefillah. It's a good day to say your tehillim, which means, let's say I'm turning 31, so it's the 32nd tehillim. I haven't looked at it yet, but Bezrat Hashem. And visit the Kotel, as mentioned, Kavod, so I'm on my way. I'll get there within before Shkia. And again, Aliyah on your birthday and the Shabbos beforehand is also mentioned in different Sfarim. Finally, a few more notes. What better day? Every day is a great day for gratitude, but on the day that you were born, on the day that Mamish, a crazy miracle happened and this little live thing popped up, we should Mamish just reflect about how life is a miracle and be grateful and thank Hashem as much as possible. Bezrat Hashem, that's always a good thing to do, but especially on our birthday. Okay, few more notes. What about birthday cakes and candles, birthday wishes and blessings? So when it comes to blowing out candles, in general, many Mukubalim say that it's not a good idea to blow out candles. It's, Kabbalistically speaking, it's supposed to be dangerous. And that's why on Havdalah, they'll take a candle and they'll light another candle and they'll find a way to get it out without blowing it out.
That's put in the line.
Yeah, so that's why Kabbalists are very knocked about that. It's not a halacha, it's just a good thing to be with, no heck. But in specifically when it comes to birthday candles, some say it's better not to have birthday candles and blow it out. Some, according to my research, it seems to be rooted in pagan customs of protection against evil spirits. So probably better not to blow out candles, but if they give you candles and you don't want to make a big deal about it, the minhag seems to be they make ill. But if you can avoid it, better to avoid it. Okay? What about...
That's why in all the restaurants here, they have the what's it called, like the flare things that...
So you don't have to blow it.
That itself.
They were mischavim.
It must be the rabbanut.
They were mischavim. Okay. What about birthday brachas? So, the minog amongst Karl Bach Yichavre is to give birthday brachas. I haven't found in any source books, but I do know that we, the Jewish people, the whole earth is meant to be blessed by us. And so the more pure your speech is, through no Lashon Hara and through Tefillah and Torah, the more your blessing is effective. So it's a good day to connect to your neshama and to give blessings. Similarly, what about singing people happy birthday, like you guys did so kindly today? So I think it's a beautiful thing, because if you're not just singing that thing and saying happy birthday, but you're truly trying to connect to another year, and you're truly happy for that person that he's alive, then at that moment you're doing the Haftarecha Kamocha, you're loving another Jew. And that's a beautiful thing. So it all depends on your intention. If you truly are having that intention every time you think sing happy birthday, I think you're doing a beautiful thing. Okay, final source sheet, page on the source sheets. I have to note, there are some rabbis who are not really into the birthday thing. Rav Kanievsky, for example, is noted as saying, birthday, it's a minhag of begoyim, like paro. So there are those who don't... who aren't so into it, just for the sake of honesty. And they cite this Gemara in Erevin, which says that there's a big machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Would it better have been men to have been born, or better for men to not have been born? And what's the answer?
Not
have been born, because we sin so much. It's like the Goyim, they can celebrate, because they don't have these, they're not violating. But the Jews, better not to celebrate. But at the end of the day, it says, Yifashvef Masach. Now that we're born, it's good to do tshuva. So I think that's, whether you celebrate or not, it's always a great day to do tshuva, especially on your birthday. And Zehayom Masa Hashem Nagila V'Nisachabo, this is the day that Hashem created us. Every day is really our birthday. Every day is a great day to feel like we're recreated. And so, just to share with you what my personal birthday plan is. One, I want to make a personal, practical commitment that I can be held accountable for, which will last me until my next birthday. Right, and like I mentioned, in the last 49 days, I've been doing personal accountability, chavrusas, and life coaching, where I take commitments upon myself and I hold other people accountable, and I've seen what works and seen what doesn't. So by the end of my birthday, I want to pick one thing for this year that's going to stick with me the whole year, something very practical. I want to give a lot of tefillah, a lot of tzedakah, a lot of chesed, a lot of introspection, chill with my holy wife, and brainstorm for some shiduchim, and maybe I want to have a smoothie. And as for some brainstorming ideas for lasting commitments. One, I'm thinking maybe I'll read Everyday Holy Brother. Two, I want to read my Everyday Chafetz Chaim, which is something I've been doing over the Omer, and it's been awesome. And my wife. Three, get a new notebook where I do introspection every day, and index cards for introspecting before Shabbos. Four, get a shidduch pad that I can write different men and women to make shidduchim for. Five, commit myself to daily Aruch HaShulchan. It's a new sefer that I'm learning. Six, finish the Shlomo Siddur. It's a little sefer I'm working on. Seven, keep up my awesome brachas chavrutot. I try to get my students and friends to do one awesome bracha per day. F, start my shirim and meals with gratitude. So we started with that. And finally, start my dinner with exercise and with tea. And don't overcommit myself to too many projects. So I'm not going to keep all of these. I have to just pick one of these. Hard for me to decide, but Bezrat Hashem.
What's the Shlomo Siddur?
Shlomo Siddur, it's a little, you know the Shlomo packet that I wrote? So I bought it. I want to donate it to a Raita today, in honor of my birthday. I have one. I may have already donated. It's a little packet that I wrote, Shlomo's sayings on Tefillah, and Shlomo Karla. And I'm working over the summer in writing a real Siddur, and actually printing a Siddur with the commentary with collaborating with other Shlomo. We're working on it. Over the summer, Bezrat Hashem, that'll be my main project. Be'ezrat Hashem. Stories and teachings and stuff like that. I have a copy here. If any guys want it, I'm happy to please give it to you, or in Bezrat Hashem, you guys can learn it.